Hey, good to see you guys, man. Something is happening in the world. Have you noticed? It's almost like we're living the last days, and unfortunately, the trend in the church is Robert Tozier was teaching this morning in Sunday school. People don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And did you know that it's the official policy of China that you don't teach Bible prophecy? Because they don't want the people out there to know that they are not the final governmental system, that Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to rule and reign. So I'd say we better get into the Bible. How about you guys? Amen. All right, check this out. Apparently, I heard this is how it went. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? You guys read that verse? Okay, in case you're wondering where it's at, it's the very first page. Okay, hopefully. God created the heavens and the earth, and he populated the earth with broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, green and yellow vegetables of all kinds so that man and woman could live long, healthy lives. But Satan used God's gifts, and he created Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Krispy Kreme donuts and said, "Hey, you want chocolate with that?" And the man said, "Yeah." And the woman said, "Hey, as long as you're at it, you might add some sprinkles too." So they gained 10 pounds, and Satan smiled. Well, then God created healthy yogurt and fresh green salad. But Satan brought forth Thousand Island dressing in these buttery croutons and garlic toast on the side. So a man unfastened his belt, and the woman went from a size 6 to a size 14. And then God created this light, fluffy, wonderful cake, okay? And he named it angel food. That's right. And he said, "It is good." But Satan created chocolate cake, and he named it devil's food. You know exactly, right? And so the man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went right to the roof, okay? So finally, God brought forth running shoes, right? So his children might lose those extra pounds. But Satan gave him cable TV with the remote so man wouldn't have to get up off the couch to change the channels. So man and woman gained even more pounds. So finally, God gave man lean beef. Pause for the dramatic reflection. God gave man lean beef, okay, so that he might consume fewer calories but still satisfy his appetite. But Satan created Kentucky Fried Chicken. And said, "Yeah, you know it's true." And said, "You want fries with that?" And man said, "Yeah, supersize them." And Satan said, "It is good." And man went into cardiac arrest. But finally, God, out of mercy, created for man the quadruple bypass surgery. But Satan created the Obama healthcare system, and we're all doomed. Amen. But folks, believe it or not, I think we all have a great consensus here this morning. Did you know, I think I found something that's even more doomed, believe it or not, than the Obama healthcare system. Okay, maybe not. No, actually, I did. Okay. And it's called Planet Earth. It's more doomed, okay? You see, it goes like this. You see, for those who continue to reject God's one and only Son, his healthy provision through Jesus Christ, the only way out of this mess, the Bible is very clear. You are going to be doomed. You will be left behind just like that at the rapture of the church, and you will be catapulted into the 7-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. As we've been seeing, folks, that is a horrible time of outpouring of God's wrath on a wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus said in Matthew 24, it's going to be a greater time of horror, just like a horror movie, than this world has ever seen or will ever see again, and that unless God shortened that time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. But is anybody glad that God's not just a God of wrath, he's a God of love as well? Yeah. Yes, praise God. And because he loves us, his people, the church, he gives us many warning signs in the Bible. 1/3 of the Bible deals with prophecy. He lets us know about the first coming. He lets us know about the second coming because he doesn't want us to be caught off guard. Therefore, to keep you and I here at Sunrise from experiencing that ultimate bad day, even worse than the Obama healthcare system, I had to say it one more time. We're going to continue our study. That's right, the final countdown update, okay? And if you've been tracking with us, we've already seen the first four updates on the final countdown study. And that was the Jewish people, the Antichrist, modern technology, and the last four times, that's how much was going on, was the issue of the worldwide upheaval. The planet is going to get messed up big time right before Jesus comes back. And we've already seen that with the rise of wars and rumors of wars. You turn on the news lately? Famines, earthquakes, pestilence, diseases, and last time if you were here, we saw signs in the sky and signs on the earth. And the Bible clearly tells us when you see these signs in the sky, specifically an increase of solar activity, asteroid impact, and the threats from that, volcanic eruptions and signs on the earth with weird weather and locust plagues, even frog plagues are happening right now, just like it happened back in Egypt. Okay, and I very well could be a sign that God's getting ready to judge us just like Egypt, but it's a good thing that our hearts are not hard like Pharaoh's. Yes, unfortunately, they are. But that's not all. The fifth update on the final countdown study we're going to deal with is the rise of falsehood. Turn to somebody and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? Because this is a huge sign, folks, that we are living in the last days. And the first sign of falsehood, and this is straight from Jesus, folks, he says, you better be on the lookout for these guys. Okay? Don't stare at his eyes. They creep you out. Okay? But the rise of false messiahs is huge. Okay? But I didn't say that. Jesus did. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24. Once again, the classic text there. Matthew 24. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 there. And as you turn there again, as we've been already dealing with wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilence and those kind of things, okay, we're going to see, folks, we're going to back it up, and we're going to take a look at the very first thing that Jesus warned about, okay, which I think is not obviously by chance. Nothing's by chance in the scripture, but what you're going to see is I think it's setting the precedent of what kind of attitude, what kind of atmosphere is there going to be during the seven-year tribulation. And what we're going to see is it's about deceit. Deceit. And the only way to not be deceived is to get acquainted with the truth. And this book is it. Right? So if you don't want to be deceived, listen to this book. Get into the book, the Bible. And that's what Jesus said. Let's take a look. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 5 says this. Now, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. And they're all amazed with the temple, right? And Jesus said, hey, you see all these things? He said, I tell you the truth, okay? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Now, if you know your church history, that's exactly what happened. 70 AD, the Roman Titus goes in there, takes over Jerusalem, and they burn Jerusalem down, including the temple. But the temple, if you know from the Old Testament, that baby had gold, not just on the outside, but the walls on the inside were inlaid with gold. And so when it started to burn, guess what happened to the gold? It all melted, and guess where it went into? Into the rocks. Into the foundation. So guess what the Romans did? They did exactly what Jesus did. They started turning those stones up to get at the gold. All the stones. Jesus, once again, hit it right on the head. But then he goes on. He says, now as Jesus later, he's now sitting at the Mount of Olives. And so the disciples come to him privately. And they says, hey, tell us. Okay, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and specifically the end of the age? And the first thing Jesus said, watch out. Jesus answered that no one what? Deceives you. Why? For many, not just one, many, he says, will come in my name claiming specifically what? I am the Christ. And will deceive absolutely nobody. No. Unfortunately, many will come claiming that I am the Christ and unfortunately will deceive many. Okay? And folks, again, I don't think it's by chance, but the very first thing that Jesus said before he says, watch out for those rise of wars and rumors of wars, watch out for the rise of famines and earthquakes and pestilence and signs in the sky and signs on the earth, the first thing he says, you better be on the lookout for, how do you know it's getting close to his coming? How do you know it's getting close to the end of the age? He says, you better watch out because there's going to be a massive increase of deceit across the planet. And then he starts to narrow it down. He said it's not just deceit, but he specifically, these guys deceitfully going out there, these false messiahs saying, I am the Christ, right? And again, the skeptic's going to look at this and say, well, okay, so what? So we've had a few people here and there, you know, throughout history claiming to be Jesus. That's not a big deal. But folks, if you're paying attention, even recently, even the last couple of decades or less, what is not commonplace is how in the last century alone, or just even again, the last couple decades, there is an explosion of people claiming to be specifically Jesus Christ, the Christ, just like he says, all over the planet. Not just in America, all over the planet right now. And I want to share just some of those with you. We saw a few of these before, but to give you an update on what's going on, let's take a look at all the people right now as we sit here who are claiming to be the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, all over the world. Let's take a look. As we saw before, this guy, Reverend Sung Young Moon, he's not only the head of the famous group, the Moonies, okay, and but he has tons of followers all over the world, has been for decades. He not only claimed to be the Messiah, but also the Lord of the universe. And he even stated on record that Jesus follows him, okay? But he recently died, so apparently, John, he wasn't the Lord of the universe after all. That picture of him there was actually a crowning ceremony of him being the Messiah in the U.S. Senate building. Folks, I'm telling you, I've said this before, until you understand that our country is not just a political battle, it's a spiritual battle, none of this is going to make sense. But when you get that, everything makes sense. Okay, let's move on. We saw the Jesus of Siberia. This man right now in Russia has thousands of his own disciples who think he's Jesus because, as you can see with the picture right there, folks, he walks around in a crimson robe and he's got long brown hair. He's got to be Jesus. You got to play the part. All right? And his devotees say that he radiates incredible love, and speaking to him is like an electric shock or like bells ringing. My theory is wrong, that they're in a puddle of water and got too close to the toaster, you know, and it's... unplug the toaster before you do something like that. But anyway, let's move on. We saw before, I'm not making this up. This guy's in Pennsylvania. His name is What's Your Name? And I'm not making this up. The reason why his name is called What's Your Name is because when people ask him, what's your name, he only replies back, what's your name? And as crazy as that is, thousands of people right now visit this guy, and one person stated this: I was in his presence for an hour and I felt unbelievable. What? Excuse me? How about this guy, David Shaler? He's a self-proclaimed MI5 messiah because he's a former British MI5 secret agent guy. And he said, here's how it all happened. He said, I started meditating. First problem. He said, then I learned, that's his words, not mine, learned how to channel the light. And the more research I did, not in the Bible, but into Freemasonry, the Knights Templar, Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, the more I became convinced that I was the Christ. Same phrase, right? Okay, and here's a picture of him. He said, then in June, a psychic channeled the spirit of Mary Magdalene and anointed him as the Messiah. And he said, quote, finally, my whole life made sense. Your belongings with you on the side of the road probably ain't working out too well, is my theory. What? But that's not all. This guy, remember him, A.J. Miller, he's a former IT worker from Australia. Oh, as I keep going through this, these are all happening right now as we sit here. All over the world. A.J. Miller right now claims to be Jesus Christ back from the dead to spread a message he calls the divine truth. That's right. And he's currently on worldwide tour. He's been over here to America several different times, okay, and with his girlfriend Mary. Now, you got to understand the importance of this, not just any Mary, but Mary Magdalene, who also has been apparently reincarnated, according to him, who witnessed the crucifixion. And she heads up his new video ministry. New generation, new... whatever. And this guy, Lord Maitreya, this guy has thousands of people all over the world considering him to be Jesus Christ right now. His appearance is supposed to have spawned healing springs, weeping and bleeding statues. Ooh. How many guys, if you had a statue at your house and blood starts coming out of that thing, you'd smash it with a hammer? Anybody? Okay. What? Or call for an exorcist or something. And not only that, listen to that, I'm not making this up. And even divine messages inscribed by the seeds within fruit and vegetables. Now, if you guys are taking a bite out of an apple, and John, it starts wiggling from the inside, how many of you guys are going to put it on the ground and stomp on it? I'm not going to look for a message. What? Folks, as crazy as this is, his cohort, this guy, Benjamin Cream, is now saying that all the signs we saw last week in the sky... those aren't heralding the return of Jesus Christ, but Lord Maitreya, who will bring in peace to the world, as this interview shows. Let's take a look.
According to British author Benjamin Krem, Maitreya, a teacher of extraordinary stature, is here in the world to inspire us to make the fundamental changes that will usher in an unprecedented golden age of brotherhood and justice.
Maitreya is emerging into the open, beginning public work on television and radio throughout the world, beginning in America and Japan and then other nations. Maitreya and his group of masters have created hundreds and hundreds of signs for humanity to show that something tremendous is afoot. And these are known throughout the world, extraordinary, seemingly impossible happenings, but happenings which happen. The latest of these signs pointing to acting as a herald of Maitreya is a new star-like object which has appeared all over the world. Looks like a star, only bigger and brighter and nearer, tremendous brilliance and changing color and moving. When Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, a star appeared in the heavens. It was a spacecraft sent by the spiritual hierarchy to guide the three wise men and act as a sign. This has been repeated today. The first crop circle created this year, many weeks ahead of the usual date when they appear, is, if you can see it, a star, and is to remind those who need to know that this is the star, the herald of Maitreya, who is entering into public work. This is indeed a unique time in the whole history of the world.
Now, that's the only statement I agree with him on. Can you believe that? Because we all know, if you don't want to be deceived, pay attention to the UFOs in the sky in crop circles. Is what Jesus said there in that text. No, he didn't say that, did he? Folks, it's absolutely amazing. There's been at least two commercials that I know of on CNN promoting this guy's return, Maitreya. Who would have thought in our lifetime that television news conferences are being held, and this is just one of the guys, of a false Messiah saying he's on the planet. It's exactly what Jesus said, folks, in that text. The very first thing before the earthquakes, before the wars, etc., etc. But he's not the only one. We saw this guy before, Jose Miranda. He not only says he is Jesus Christ, but he's encouraged his followers to tattoo 666 on their bodies as a sign of allegiance to him, because he says 666, we got it wrong, is actually a blessing. And so that you need to do that, as we saw before. He also teaches that heaven can be found here on earth simply by following him, and that there is no sin and that there is no hell. Okay? According to this guy. In fact, it's so ridiculous, folks, that even anti-Christian Bill Maher pointed out how ridiculous this is. Even Bill Maher, who's not a Christian, as far as I understand, knows that that's not how Jesus comes back. Let's take a look at that.
Who are you biblically?
I'm Jesus Christ, man, the second coming of Christ. I am. The Old Testament speak about me clearly, and the New Testament also.
By you personally? Yes. Not just because you share the name Jesus.
No, because...
Because you also share the name Miranda. Maybe you're
right.
Carmen Miranda.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the second coming of her. You should have fruit on your head instead of fruit in your head. Why do you think God chose you?
Jesus of Nazareth had a wife, so after they kill him, his seed kept going, maybe through France, Spain, and then from Spain came to Puerto Rico. The bloodline come from Abraham to David
sure.
to Jesus Nazareth, Jesus right. Nazareth me.
Okay, I thought a second coming was Christ himself, not a descendant of.
No.
No?
He's a descendant.
Descendant, no. Yeah. But you don't believe in hell?
No.
Or the devil.
No, that.
Or even sin, right?
I mean, no, that's not a sin any longer.
I mean, what you teach is that Jesus died for our sins, and so there's not really any sinning anymore.
No more sinning.
This is like a diet. This is like a diet doctor saying, eat anything you want.
Right.
You don't lose weight, but it's easy to stick to.
That's what I believe, Bill.
Oh, I know you do.
And I have many people who believe in this.
And yet you have a little... You have a little twinkle in your eye when you say it.
No, I believe in that. I believe.
Yeah, there you go. Now, folks, what's sad about this is, listen, it'd be one thing if it's just, okay, a couple people in a rented room got duped by this guy. Not thousands. Millions. Millions of people right now across the planet are being duped by this guy. But here's the problem. Even though, as we saw, Bill Maher sees how ridiculous this Jose Miranda, he actually recently died. Oops. But I'm not making this up, folks. All of a sudden, a new and improved and skinnier Jose Miranda has appeared on the scene saying he's back from the dead. Let's take a look at that announcement.
He promised to return. Therefore, in that day, my people shall know my name. Soon we will see his transformation. The man Christ Jesus is here.
A greeting for all of you. What joy today to return to the cameras and be with you. It's a joy to be with you again. Soon, I will talk about the death that they celebrated about me. August 8th, for you. Well, they buried me. And there, my life ended. However, the word says that the years of that one that was coming would not end. So then I feel better than ever, healthier than ever. My thoughts are more organized than ever. So then I feel perfectly fine.
Except for the fact I turned into a robot. Other than that, I'm here. Can you believe this? And it still goes on and on today. Can I tell you why, real quick? I have to do this because people don't read this and the church does not want to talk about Bible prophecy. That's why people are continuing to be duped, not just once, but now the second time around on this guy. But again, I'm telling you folks, it's all over the world as we sit in here. There's this guy, Yahweh Ben Yahweh. He was originally born Hulon Mitchell Jr. Apparently didn't like his name, I don't know. He became a black nationalist and separatist who created the nation of Yahweh, proclaiming himself the living Messiah of the nation of Yahweh. So if you're going to make your own nation, you got to rename it after yourself. And he not only was accused of orchestrating the deaths of dozens of people, but listen, it's one thing to believe that yourself, but the mayor of Miami back in 1990 said he declared Yahweh Ben Yahweh Day. It was a month before he got indicted on these crimes. My theory is, Ruth, that mayor did not get reelected. Okay, oops. But then there's this guy, Laszlo Toth. He claimed to be Jesus Christ while he was battering Michelangelo's Pieta statue. As you can see there in the background, Jesus being held in the arms of Mary at the crucifixion. That's the statue. And he was beating it at the Vatican with a hammer, saying, "I'm Jesus Christ, I'm Jesus Christ." Okay. Now, he initially worked at a soap factory until later his skull got fractured in a fight. Then he goes off to Rome and sent letters to the Pope in an unsuccessful attempt to meet the Pope. So I don't know, but my theory is he was a little upset about that, took it out on the statue. I don't know, but claiming to be Jesus. This guy, Wayne Bimp, you might have heard of him. He's also known as Michael Trevaser in his church called the Lord Our Righteousness Church. He was convicted of sexual crimes towards minors back in 2008. He's a former Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He left his congregation one day claiming that in June 2000, he had an experience in his living room. My theory was, John, they had a bug problem. They were lighting the bug bombs off. He forgot to get out. That's not the experience you want. You want to open the windows, vacate the prayer, whatever. So, but in all seriousness, he had this experience where, quote, he said God told him, "You are the Messiah." And later, Ben agreed, saying, "Yeah, okay, Wally, I am the embodiment of God. I am divinity and humanity combined." Okay, that wasn't God. This guy, and again, it's all over the world. There's a guy in Japan doing the same thing. Yaesu Matayoshi, he's a Japanese political activist who not only established the World Economic Community Party, based, of course, on his conviction, John, that he is God and the Christ. Okay? And he either goes by, he tries to keep it simple for you, he either goes by the name The Only God, Matayoshi Mitsuo, or sometimes, shortened form, just call me Jesus Matayoshi. Right now, as we sit here, this guy's doing this in Japan, okay? But this guy's been around for a while, Claude Bourlon. He's known as Rail, or the Messenger of Elohim. He's a former French professional test driver who became the founder and leader of the UFO cult called the Rail Movement, okay? It all started, he said, when he met an extraterrestrial in 1973, and that's when he became, that's right, the Messiah. And of course, the extraterrestrial's name just happened to be Yahweh. So it must be God. Whatever. And I couldn't wait to get to this guy. I'm not making this up. Henry Cristo. This guy's from Brazil. He was actually born Alvaro Face to Roman Catholic farmers who said, as a child, he said, quote, he started to obey a powerful voice that spoke inside of his head. Stick to the cartoons, man. Bugs Bunny, anything. Looney Tunes, I don't care. Don't listen to that mysterious voice inside your head, okay? But he not only claims to be Jesus Christ reincarnated. Bible does not teach reincarnation. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man to die once, then face judgment. And Jesus was not reincarnated. It was a literal physical resurrection of the same body, okay? Major difference. But he says he's Jesus reincarnated, and the pictures tell no lie. And he's known for his media appearances in Brazil and many other countries, either 26 or 27 different countries. This guy is traipsing around saying he's Jesus. France even stated when he showed up there, quote, Christ is back on earth, when he showed up. Now, I'm not making this up. Today, he travels around. That's a picture of him right there. He travels around with an entourage of young ladies making Brazilian pop songs to promote his ministry while riding around on his scooter. You see, Freddie, you think I'm kidding. I'm not. Here's one of their music videos. Woohoo! Get ready to jam.
Oh, 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 he bear you, libertad, libertad. Oh, 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 caminho novo nos guia, nos guia. Libertad, 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 a libertad, ele está. Libertad, 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 a libertad, libertad.
Oh, Pai, abençoe-te, Filho, com saúde, luz e justiça, que tua e tua glória perdure sempre, oh, Pai, que a paz seja com todos.
Oh, wow, Joey, he's doing the Spock thing, man. I can't even do that. He's got to be real. He's got to be Jesus. You got to be kidding me, okay? Folks, that's not only just ridiculous, but and maybe it's just me, but did you know that that's not how Jesus Christ comes back? Please, everybody raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Lay hands on you, right? That's not how he comes back. And the way I didn't know, if you read the Bible, the book of Acts says, here's how Jesus returns, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, the angels came up. Jesus went into heaven physically right before their very eyes. They said, hey, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. Okay? In other words, it's going to be a visible appearing of the exact same Jesus coming from the sky, not on a scooter with hot chicks wearing fake wings on the back of a motorcycle singing a pop song in Portuguese. How in the world can anybody even flirt with falling with that? Because in the last days, the church doesn't want to study the Bible, and nobody wants to hear Bible prophecy. Those are easy texts to pick up on, but you got to study it. That's why people are falling for it, okay? It's not just crazy. It's a sign we're living in the last days. It's exactly what Jesus said. It's the very first warning he said to look out for. It's happening all over the world with all these different guys all at the same time right now, okay? And that leads us to the next falsehood that we're getting ready to talk about, and that is the rise of false myths, okay? The rise of false myths. And the reason why this is important, because you might be asking yourself that same question. How in the world can anybody, I mean, who in their right mind would ever listen to any of these goobers saying that they're Jesus Christ, right? He does not come back this way. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, all you got to do is read the Bible, and you'll see that that's not true. Well, as I've already said, that's the problem. People don't read the Bible. They don't want to study the Bible. They certainly don't want to talk about Bible prophecy. Okay? And so they're being set up by these guys. Let's take a look at another passage, not just Acts chapter 1. Let's take a look at another passage that the Bible says Jesus Christ, the real one, how he's going to come back. And this is in Matthew 24, verse 26 and 27. Jesus speaking. So if anybody tells you, there he is. There he is out in the desert. He's riding a scooter. Quick, catch. It's worse than the ice cream truck. Get him. He's going around the corner. Run. Do not do that, he says. Come on. That's not how he's coming back. He says, no. Here he is. He's in the inner rooms. He's got Benjamin Graham announcing with crop circles that he's here. He's not coming back like that. Don't believe that, Jesus said. Right? For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And that's straight from Jesus, folks. He says that when he comes back, he's not going to do it secretly. Okay? It's going to be a global, worldwide event. Everybody's going to see him, and everybody's going to know who it is. It's going to be apparent. It is not going to be in some rented room. Jesus is not going to rely upon some spokesperson saying that crop circles prove his point. It's not going to be a rented room. It's not going to be some Jesus coming back being indicted on sexual crimes against minors. And believe it or not, he's not going to be a descendant from Puerto Rico. It's going to be the real Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and I had to throw this in, Joy. He's not coming on a scooter in the sky either. Okay, just had to throw that in there. Okay, in other words, it's going to be a global event. Everybody's going to see it. Now, this is the problem. The reason why people are falling for this is because of another sign. The Bible says that you're in the last days. The Bible says in the last days that these people are going to follow false Christ. Why? Because they're going to follow after strange myths. Muthos in the Greek, it literally means stories made up. At the same time these guys appear on the scene, at the same time the trend in the church is to follow stories made up instead of the Bible, including the stories these guys made up. Let's take a look at that text. Paul's very clear about this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, Timothy, preach the word, all of it, not some of it, all of it. Be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Why? Because here's what's coming. A time will come when men, the context is the church here, folks, when men will not put up with sound doctrine, basic Bible teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Itching is kinetho in the Greek. It means only pleasant things. Do we see a trend in the church that people only want to be told only pleasant things from the pulpit? That's being fulfilled as we speak. And not just that, they only want to hear pleasant things from the pulpit as a sign you're in the last days. He said they're going to do a second thing. They will turn their ears away from the truth, the Bible, and turn aside on purpose to what? Myths. Again, it's the Greek word muthos, and it literally means stories made up. So the Bible says that in the last days, churches will purposely hire pastors who will come and tickle their ears with non-convicting sermons. You won't hear about hell. You won't hear about wrath. You certainly won't hear about Bible prophecy. You won't hear about sin. You won't hear about repentance. Just the nice stuff. And at the same time, they're going to turn away from the Word of God, and they're going to just become enraptured with stories made up. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad we see zero signs of that happening today. Yeah, folks, the apostasy is in high gear. We'll get to that, Lord willing, some other time. And but there's all kinds of people, folks, doing just this. And apparently in the church, this is how easy it is. People say, well, you're supposed to check it according to the Bible. Well, you don't. You don't even go there. And apparently in the church, it's gotten so bad today that all you got to do is say words like this. The same words that these false Christs are duping people with. Hey, hey, I got a word from God. Hey, hey! Don't you guys? Hey, listen! You better listen to me, because God told me. No, you don't understand. You weren't there. I had goosebumps on top of my goosebumps, and I was crying like a baby. I couldn't stop. I was rolling on the floor, doing something weird, and I had this experience. And in this experience, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys before. I actually saw this as a young Christian, brand spanking new. I couldn't have been older than 6 months in the Lord. I didn't know anything about Bible prophecy. I hardly knew anything about the Bible at that point. I just got into Bible college 8 weeks after I got saved. I'm a brand spanking new baby Christian. And the church service that I went to, and this was my last day there, I'm not making this up, the pastor gets up that Sunday. I could still see it. And he had the Bible up there, and all of a sudden he got a word from God, quote unquote. And he says he's not going to preach any more boring, stale stuff from this book. What he's going, and he literally, I watched, it was almost like slow motion. He took the Bible and he laid it aside. And he says, I'm just going to preach what the Spirit leads me to preach on. I left that church. Something inside me, the Holy Spirit of God, said, get out of there and run. Now, that's the common thing today of people today. All you got to do in the church is say those words, just like the false messiahs. I got a word from God. God told me, didn't you hear? I got a word for you, brother or sister, whatever. Hey, listen to me. There's people not just doing that. There's people thriving on the backs of the American church with stories they made up. Here's just one of them, a false teacher called Todd Bentley. Let's take a look.
Well, what's happening? I said, God, I've prayed for like 100 crippled people, not one. He said, that's because I want you to grab that lady's crippled legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat. I walked up and I grabbed her legs and I started going, be healed! Be healed! I started banging them up and down on the platform. She got healed. And I'm thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face. And there's this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer and I went like this. Bam! And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God.
No, she fell under the power of your combat boot kicking her in the face. If it even really happened. That's a story, folks, I believe, made up. You can't verify that. And yet people are falling for it. This is in the church. This is in the world. This is in the church. Now, if you think his muthos, his stories are absolutely crazy, folks, wait till you hear these muthos, these stories coming from his wife. It's not just goofy. It's demonic. Watch this.
I'm going to have my wife, Jessa, share a dream that she had. And I'm going to tell you what God's been speaking to me about. And I believe it's the key that's going to release the greatest miracle anointing for the church.
I looked and I didn't see anything at first. And then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eye. And Oral Roberts said, he put his hands over my eyes and said, what do you see? And I said, I didn't see anything at first. And then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eyes. And it was dancing. It was going crazy. It was just, it had this big smile and it was just going crazy. And I said, it's a wild elephant. I see a wild elephant. And then I said, what's with the elephant? He said, exactly. What is it with the elephant? And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant. It was a wild elephant, a wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical.
Okay, I think I get it. It was, I think, worse than that, Mary. It was a radical wild elephant, and it was inspired by the story of a dead guy, because, by the way, did you know Oral Roberts is dead? So some dead guy came to you and supposedly told you about a happy, radical, dancing elephant that your husband says is now the key for the church to experience an outpouring of God's Spirit. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's not just ridiculous. That's muthos, 100%. That's a story you made up. Or if it really was inspired, that's a demonic inspiration. We talked about this before, but back in the New Age and the occult, what I got rescued out of, those things with people shaking their heads like that and the involuntary movements in the occult, that's called kriyas. And kriyas are a number one sign that somebody is now experiencing full-blown possession. You have no control of your body movements, okay? So that's even just giving the benefit of the doubt. But again, here's the problem, folks. Once you go down this route, once all you got to say to people, get away from the Bible and just say, hey, listen, God told me I had an experience, I had this vision, this dead person, this happy elephant, this... You know, if she would have said wiener dog, she might have had me. You know what I'm saying? But said, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you, obviously. Let's close in prayer. No, but because of this trend, folks, people are saying this, they're falling for all these false appearances of Jesus. This is the premise. It's these two Bible prophecy passages coming together at the same time. How could anybody fall for this guy saying he's Jesus coming back reincarnated on a scooter with chicks on the back of a motorcycle with fake queens singing Brazilian pop songs in Portuguese? Because don't get into the Bible. You just take somebody's word for it. I heard from God. God told. You see the danger of that? And it's not just duping people in the last days for these so-called appearances of false Jesus, a false Messiah. Okay, but just about any kind of form of appearance of Jesus people are falling for. And they're having, quote, life-changing experiences, including, did you know that Jesus recently appeared, not just on a scooter, but on a piece of toast? Yeah, let's take a look at that.
A South Carolina woman has a spiritual link to this piece of toast. Linda Lowe says she's looking at an image of Jesus in melted cheese.
It's just the peace that he has on his face. It's just there's a sweetness on this particular image that just makes me want to smile when I look at it.
Last fall, Lowe says she and her boyfriend intended to make a piece of cheese toast for a late night snack, but when it came out of the oven, it was seen as the image of Christ.
Hi, I'm Sarah Costa with Annette Escamilla with her two granddaughters, who has had the face of Jesus appear to her on a tortilla.
Hey, I was eating this Kiri cream cheese, And after I got done, I noticed that the face that appears there just happens to look like Jesus.
We were watching Oprah, and we paused it, and Jesus appeared.
Jacob Simmons and Gentry Lee Sutherland make no secret about being religious folks.
God is real, and he is watching.
So when the engaged couple saw a face mysteriously appear on their Walmart receipt, there's only one person it could be.
And the more you look at it, the more like Jesus.
Wendy Brady's specialty is faux finishing with a technique she calls Mississippi mud.
I've been doing this for many years.
Brady has a keen eye for interior design, but she wasn't expecting to see this after she finished the foyer of her friend's home in Horn Lake.
To my amazement and joy and surprise, that's what showed up.
It's as if the image of Jesus is keeping watch over their door.
Is this the face of Jesus? Well, passers-by outside this Chinese takeaway in Sunderland seem to think so.
He's looking after us. Any little helps, doesn't it?
Jesus Christ's picture graces the walls of Florida Hospital in Orlando. But this image, look closely. A reflection in the chapel window has started a holy uprising of a different kind.
And so I went over there and I saw a glow.
A glow, Joel Cruzado says, made this image he snapped with his cell phone.
And I couldn't tell what the image was until I took a picture of it myself. And then when it's scaled down on your cell phone, you really clearly see it.
New at 6, a Port St. Lucie woman says she's made a divine discovery. She spotted the image of Jesus while watching The Bachelor right here on WPBF 25.
And I was coming to my room.
She still has plans to spruce up the backyard, so when she saw a tent she liked in a scene on ABC's The Bachelor, she grabbed her cell phone.
I said, oh my God, let me take a picture of that tent.
The first picture came out like this. She wanted more of the tent and took two more. Much to the grandmother's surprise, the second photo was this.
You ever see a picture of Jesus on soap?
We begin in Dunlap, Indiana, and another sighting of the Son of God. Yesterday, Jesus manifested himself in a Cheeto. Today, actually, that looks like a scene from 2001. Today, he's found a new home on the back of Sissy the kitten. Sissy's owners think it's a sign of good things to come. Sissy itself, not so happy about it.
All right, so we're thinking eyes.
Yeah, the too dark is the eyes, and then it's okay.
We sure that's not the face of Satan?
Kids normally use crayons to color, but a Blue Springs woman says her child's crayons led her to an encounter with Jesus. Take a look for yourself. Tara Gomez and her son melted the crayons in the oven as part of an activity they found on the internet.
And I'd been praying, and I'd been praying about certain things, and I'd asked God for a sign, you know? And I think the crazy part about this was within an hour of doing this, you know, I don't know what better sign you get than it actually being right in front of you.
Now, Joey, it's fumes coming out of that oven when you're melting those crayons. Let me get this straight. Jesus, apparently right now, is appearing on a piece of toast, Walmart receipts, cat fur, the Oprah show, and the Bachelor show, and melted crayons, and who needs the Bible? I've been having hard times. And I've been praying to God. And he spoke to me not in his word, but in a goofy melted crayon or a piece of toast. Oh, yeah, the Cheeto. That almost got me. Fortunately, I'm a Doritos fan, so I was safe. What? Oh, wow. Folks, this is exactly what Jesus said to be on the lookout for. Why? Because here's where it's all leading to. The Bible also says that in the last days, another man's going to appear on the scene. He's called the Antichrist. And halfway into the seven-year tribulation, he is going to go up into the temple and say, worship me, I am God. And you and I, as evangelical Christians, would sit here and go, who in their right mind could even come close to falling for that? But when you see this happening right now all across the world, where now it's been reduced to truth is what you experience or what somebody told you God told them, they're being prepared to worship the ultimate false Messiah, the Antichrist. Folks, it's all happening right now, right before our very eyes. And this is the whole point, okay? As we've seen before, this is why God's given us these signs of the rise of falsehood and false messiahs and false myths to let us know it's getting close. This is why Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, it's now happening right now before our very eyes on a global scale. The point is, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And so as always, the point is this: if we're here today as Christians, what in the world are we doing? Are we distracted by the things of this world? Or are we getting busy sharing what matters most in this world, the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ, that other people can be saved? Amen? But if you're here today and you're not saved, what more does God got to do to get your attention? These are warnings from 2,000 years ago that you're fast approaching the seven-year tribulation, which is the worst time in the history of mankind. You don't want to be there. The only way out is the one and only true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And if you have not asked him to forgive you of all of your sins, if he is not your Lord and Savior, you need to do it today. Don't be left behind. Amen? Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So, once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's X-ray, if you will, divine X-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine X-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there, the Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's X-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from him. We're not holy and perfect like him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even his name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved? We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that, really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's his holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine X-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You'll be forced to admit what he already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven. In that state, you're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence is passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail, but believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the pardon out of mercy, out of goodness, certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done. All of it. Even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon His name, ask Him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.